Hey, Don, and hey, everyone. How are y'all doing? Happy Sunday. And we are here for the Guiding Light, which right now is when I'm reading from the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. Today, I will begin at the bottom of page 75. So if you have this book and you want to read along with me, you can open up to the bottom of page 75. But before we begin, I am going to play a song. So I'll share my screen now.
When my mind becomes still, there's a place that I go. When my mind becomes still, there's a place that I go. There's love, yes, there's love. So much love flows through me when my mind becomes still. I feel thee. When my heart opens up, there's a place that I go. When my heart opens up, there's a place that I go. And there's love, yes, there's love. So much love flows through me when my I feel thee. When my mind becomes still, there's a place that I go. When my mind becomes still, there's a place that I go. There's love, yes, there's love. So much love flows through me when my mind becomes still. I feel thee. When my heart opens up, there's a place that I go. When my heart opens up, there's a place that I go. There's love, yes, there's love. So much love flows through me when my heart opens up. I feel thee.
Sweet song, huh? All right. So, as I mentioned, I'm going to be sharing from the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And I'll begin at the bottom of page 75. And we begin with a devotee question. But is it not funny that I should be searching for the I? Does not the inquiry, who am I, turn out in the end an empty formula? Or am I to put the question to myself endlessly, repeating it like some mantra? And Ramana Maharshi says, self-inquiry is certainly not an empty formula. It is more than the repetition of any mantra. If the inquiry, who am I, were a mere mental questioning, it would not be of much value. The very purpose of self-inquiry is to focus the entire mind at its source. It is not, therefore, a case of one I searching for another I. Much less is self-inquiry an empty formula. For it involves an intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. Self-inquiry is the one infallible means, the only direct one, to realize the unconditioned, absolute being that you really are. And it's interesting because obviously different teachers focus on different words to describe the same thing. And if you don't understand that, you might think that all of these teachers are vain, because it seems like all of these teachers are in a way saying, my way is the only way. You know, like Ramana Maharshi, who's famous for teaching self-inquiry, you know, he says, self-inquiry is the one infallible means, the only direct one, to realize the unconditioned absolute being that you really are. Nisargadatta Maharaj would say the same thing about focusing on the I am presence. And Michael Langford would say the same thing about awareness, watching awareness. And again, if you listen to just the words and you have absolutely no understanding of where the words are pointing, it sounds like three different things: self-inquiry, focusing on the I am presence, awareness. We have three separate teachers saying, my way is the only way. And it might sound like they're talking about three different things, but actually they aren't talking about three different things. They are talking about just one. Let me just say yes to her, because this is important. And then I'll turn it off. All right, good. So what they're all saying is that focusing on the true self while turning attention away from everything false is the only way to awaken. That's what they're saying. As long as we remain engaged in the false, as if the false is true, in effect, what we're doing is we're saying a prayer for more of the false. The way NTI Ephesians teaches that we actually pray is with our attention. No, not with our words, with our attention. So whatever I am giving my attention to, that's what I'm praying for. So if all of my attention is directed towards the false, towards thinking about what's happening in the world, et cetera, then I'm praying for more dream, more script, more illusion, more false self. And of course, if you think about how powerful we are as consciousness, if we're praying for more dream, guess what we're going to get? Therefore, the only way, and that's what they're all saying, is the only way. The only way to awaken is to reverse that prayer so that we're praying for truth, for awakening, to know the true self, etc., right? And you do that, again, with your attention. Not with your words, right? With your attention. And so this is why meditation is such an important part of the practice. Because when you meditate, when you sit down and meditate and close your eyes, you are spending at least some time in an undistracted form of letting go of the false and embracing the true. You're not doing anything else, so you can't be distracted. You know, most of the time we're running around in the world doing other things, right? We're doing our jobs. We're being with our families. And so even though during that time we are still really attempting to stay inward, to stay devotionally focused, to be letting go of the false and to be embracing the true, our attention can't be fully engaged in that, right? If your attention is fully engaged in that, you might walk out in front of a car or something. You know, you have to be paying some attention to the world, some attention to what's going on. But during meditation, you don't. During meditation, you don't have to be paying any attention to the world. And so you can give 100% of your attention to letting go of the false and embracing the true. So whether we call that self-inquiry, focusing on the I am presence, awareness watching awareness, or just being, or whatever we call it, it's all the same thing. And it is the only way. You have two choices. You either give your attention to the false, therefore praying for and asking for more false, or you give your attention to the true, therefore praying for and asking for truth realization. I love when Ramana Maharshi, when he's describing self-inquiry, he says it involves an intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. I'm going to read those words about three times. Just listen to these words because they're powerful words. It involves an intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. It involves an intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. It involves an intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. And I'm pretty excited because, of course, next week at the retreat house, we're going to have our first self-inquiry retreat where we're going to be together, keep in this intense activity, keeping our entire mind steadily poised in pure self-awareness. I'm very excited about that. You know, I don't know what everyone knows about self-inquiry, even though, of course, I've taught it before. You never know what anyone else knows about self-inquiry. The only way for me to know what you know about self-inquiry is to be able to see from your point of view, and I don't. But the way that self-inquiry works for me, I've mentioned to you all recently that when I meditate, I begin with the loving consciousness meditations that are stored on the Awakening Together website under audios and videos, meditation audios. And I really enjoy those particular guided meditations because they start with a bit of a inspiration to practice self-awareness. And then they give a little bit of direction that's a little different each day to help focus the mind. And then after that little bit of direction, there's 10 minutes of silence. The little bit of direction is repeated at the 10-minute point, followed by silence, repeated at the 20-minute point, followed by silence, then repeated again at the 30-minute point. That's when the guided audio actually ends. And then after that point, I can just sit in silence for as long as I can sit in silence. But when I'm sitting in silence, I practice self-inquiry. Self-inquiry is my primary method, without a doubt, maybe my only method of focusing on awareness. That doesn't mean that I'm sitting there, you know, for half an hour, an hour, 2 hours going, you know, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Because if you just close your eyes for a moment and just do that within yourself, just kind of close your eyes and just, you know, repeat 5 or 6 times, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Just keep doing that. But what you might notice, at least this is the way it is for me, is repeating it like that kind of keeps the attention at the front of the head, the front brain, almost right behind the eyes. That's where words bring the attention. Words, at least for me, bring the attention to the front of the mind. So, and you can go ahead and open your eyes now. So I don't practice, even though I say I practice self-inquiry, that entire time, I'm not sitting there saying, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Because those words, focusing attention on those words, would keep my attention up here. And what I really want is for my attention to kind of drop back, drop back, drop back. So in the early stages of meditation, also, I usually don't say who, I say what. But in the early stages of meditation, when I haven't dropped into the depth yet, I ask questions like, what am I? And what sees this? If my attention goes into thinking, I'll say, what sees this? Only what I do when I say, what sees this? Or what am I? As I turn my attention away from those words and I look at self-awareness. And so I only ask the question once because I want to turn away from the word. I keep what am I? Turn around and look on these words. So I'll say, what am I? And then all of my concentration, all of my attention, all of my focus is spent turning my attention around and looking. And the interesting thing is, one thing I have noticed, and I'm just revealing what meditation is like for me. I have no idea what meditation is like for anyone else. But even though I just used the words turning my attention around, I've noticed I can't focus my attention on that thought, turning my attention around. Because if I focus my attention on that thought, turning my attention around, what happens in the mind is some kind of an idea like, you know, how do you do that? Like it creates thinking. So when I say turn my attention around, I'm not talking about a thought, which is a funny thing because the thought just creates thinking. And I don't know how to describe this other than to say, I just look. I don't worry about whether my attention is turning around, even though those are the words that are using, right? I don't get that technical. It's more of a relaxed looking or attending with attention. It's really a being aware of awareness. And for me, if I was to try and describe it with words, it's more of a floating. Relaxing, concentrated, floating. And by that, when I say floating, I mean the attention is not tightly anchored to anything, right? It's not like, you know, it's usually tightly anchored to a thought, for example. It's not tightly anchored. So it's kind of just being, right? Floating. So I ask, what am I? And then I let attention just float, being aware of awareness. And I relax into that. There's a relaxing that definitely happens. Relaxing into it. A staying with it. And relaxing into it. Similar to how one might relax into a hot tub, right? Just kind of easing in. Becoming more and more comfortable. And of course, by myself, I'm not doing the talking that I'm doing now. I'm just doing the action that I am describing. But there's no thought. There's no verbal self-inquiry happening in the mind. There's just resting and unanchored attention, being aware of awareness. As I rest in unanchored attention, being aware of awareness, I begin to notice things. For example, I might notice that a part of my body is not relaxed, or even that a part of my mind is not relaxed. And I would say what I do is kind of will that into relaxation. If any thoughts should start to occur about a tightness in the shoulders or a tightness in the mind, I might ask, what sees that thought? Because at least in my experience, what I have discovered is when thought starts, what all thought is trying to do is to tell me I'm a human meditating. And that is contrary to the purpose of meditation, which is to notice myself as awareness. And so if a thought was to begin about whatever I notice, I just ask, what sees this thought? Because that turns the attention around again. Or maybe it's better to say it unanchors the attention from the thought. And it allows me to notice myself as awareness again. And again, I just relax into that. Abiding as awareness in meditation, I never try to stop anything. I don't try to stop thought. I don't try to stop feelings or sensations. Or, you know, with my thoughts, I don't try to wish a sound wasn't there. I don't try to stop anything. The only thing I do is I notice whether my attention is going to it or not. I notice whether Somehow my mind is telling me because of that, I'm a human meditating. Because of that loud noise, I'm a human meditating. Because of the way my body jumped when I heard the loud noise, I'm a human meditating. Because of those thoughts, I'm a human meditating. Because of this fear, I'm a human meditating. I notice that that's really the only message the ego is trying to send. And so whenever that message starts to appear, I will ask myself, what sees this? What sees this thought? Or what sees this tightening of the body? What sees this fear? And I only ask it once, just to return my attention to myself as the awareness that's aware. And then I abide there. Again, it is an activity of remaining unanchored, remaining focused, and remaining relaxed, aware of awareness. Aware of myself as awareness. I also explore that feeling of unanchored awareness each day as if I've never experienced it before. As if it's completely new. As if there's nothing I'm more interested in. Even though, by comparison to the world and everything that happens in the world and thought, one could most definitely argue that sitting in awareness is nothing. Explore this nothing as if nothing is the most magnificent thing ever. There is nothing more interesting than this unanchored awareness. Nothing more interesting than noticing this unanchored awareness as myself. I don't attempt to do anything with it. I don't attempt to go deeper, for example. Once I am in the state of unanchored, meaning my attention is not locked on to something, I just be in that unanchored state. I don't try to do anything else. In fact, the only trying that is happening is the trying not to move from this. To stay floating rather than reattaching. That's where the trying is. To stay floating rather than reattaching to something. Again, if some type of reattachment occur, if I can just move my attention from whatever I'm attached to, back in, I do it without words, without asking, what sees this? I find that in the beginning of meditation, I need the words more. As I go deeper into meditation, as soon as my attention starts to attach, I can just loosen it and let go without any verbal self-inquiry. Just the desire to float or the desire to be unattached is enough. Desire to focus on nothing. But the unattached awareness is enough. It's a very relaxed type of concentration. It's completely fueled by the desire to know thyself. It's paying attention to absolutely nothing except the fact that I am awareness. It allows everything else to be as it is, whatever sounds there are, whatever sensations there are. As long as my attention does not become attached, then there's nothing to do with anything. If my attention does become attached, then the only thing to do is to detach and return to the unattached awareness of awareness. If any thoughts should come into the mind, like, am I doing it right? It's just something to detach from. If you can't easily loosen and detach, then ask what sees this thought. And notice the awareness that's aware of the question, am I doing this right? What sees this thought? Relaxed focus. Just being aware that I am aware. paying attention to this state of unattached awareness as if it's the most interesting thing ever. Poised and balanced in this state of unattached awareness. Being aware of myself as this unattached, open awareness. Completely open, allowing everything without being attached to anything. Quietly noticing the openness of myself, how every sound and every sensation is contained within me. Concentrated, relaxed, relaxed, concentrated, balanced. Abiding, aware. Allowing everything to be, staying open, closing on nothing, Everything is permitted. Nothing is grabbed onto. Aware. Being aware, open, allowing everything. Staying focused on awareness as myself. Noticing awareness is myself and being amazed by that.
Hi, Deb.
Allowing myself to be deeply amazed at myself as awareness. Wanting nothing else but to be aware of myself as awareness. Wanting just to see this more and more. As if this is the greatest thing ever.
People all over the planet are waking up.
I would have.
I didn't mean to stop that so abruptly, but the reason I played the song was just to kind of bring you back, because I peeked and I noticed we were almost out of time. And I didn't just want to say stop. Let's look at Ramana Maharshi's words again. He says that self-inquiry involves an intense activity of the entire mind. So maybe you noticed how, in a way, that was, even though we were relaxing, at the same time, it was an intense activity of the entire mind. It was remaining, as I mentioned, poised and balanced at remaining unattached, right? You know, we wanted to allow everything to be as it was. If thoughts float by, thoughts float by. If there are feelings in the body, whether they're feelings the mind would call pleasant or unpleasant. If there are sounds, whether the sounds are loud or quiet. Just everything is as it is. We don't do anything with anything except focus on remaining still is the word that's often used. But it's really unattached, open, aware. And that requires a concentration, that requires a focus, because the habit is to become attached, right? When we were meditating, I don't know what you all could hear from my environment, but I heard Jasmine walking above me and yelling something at Ron, something about the laundry, I think, you know, so. You know, what the mind wants to do, again, the mind is always trying to say, I am a human meditating, right? If you pay close attention, anytime it attaches, that's what it's trying to tell you. It's trying to identify you as that separated, individuated human. So it really doesn't matter what it attaches to. You just want to detach and bring your attention back to yourself as awareness. You want to keep noticing that as the fact about you, that as the ultimate truth about you. You're letting go of the falsehood. I'm a human in a world, right? And you're immersing yourself in the truth. I'm awareness, in a very concentrated, non-thought, looking, abiding sort of way. And, you know, all kinds of experiences could happen. There could be thoughts about I'm bored. There could be thoughts about I've got things to do. There could be thoughts about, I just lost it. I might as well get up. Every one of those things are just to bring you back to the idea that you're a human meditating. And so with every one of them, you just practice self-inquiry. What sees this? And bring your attention back to that loose, unattached, floating awareness. And notice that is what you are. Keep noticing that is what you are. Awareness isn't an object that you're looking at. Awareness is what you are. And that is self-inquiry. That is the intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure self-awareness. Again, I noticed I used that same word, poised, right? An intense activity of the entire mind, mind here being attention, the entire attention, not thought, attention. An intense activity of the entire mind to keep it steadily poised in pure awareness. Self-inquiry is the one infallible means, the only direct one, to realize the unconditioned, absolute being that you truly are. And you may have even tasted that unconditioned, absolute being that you truly are during this meditation. Right? It's completely unconditioned, and it's absolutely what you are. So that concludes tonight's looking at the teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And I'll put a little mark here on my book. And next week, we'll look at the next devotee question and answer. So thanks, y'all, for meditating with me. And I'll see y'all around, some of you, at next week's self-inquiry retreat. All right. Bye.
In order to...